From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
We start off this hour of Civic Media Spotlight by heading to Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, where Pete talks about World Cocktail Day and shares a few of his favorite cocktails from around the globe.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabo.
We are back on Nightlight. It is Monday, and I don't even care because it's beautiful outside, so the days of the week have become totally irrelevant now that we are finally hitting good weather. Did you golf today, Conrad?
I did not.
No?
I'm just straight packing.
What gives? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to lose Conrad for 2.5 weeks. He's going to Italy.
I'm going to Italy.
And he's not even Italian. I don't know what he's got going on over there.
Where are you going, Conrad?
I'm going on a cruise. I believe a 14-day cruise.
Oh, okay. So you don't like traveling. Okay. That's where you wake up in America.
It's a young Christian singles cruise, and he's taking his entire family. I don't know if that's advisable, but...
Well, I'm taking my 93-year-old mom. 6-1.
You guys are both going to do really well.
We're crazy.
Hey, I got to read this because it's pretty cool. Nightlight with Pete Schwabo is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. You ever work Madison?
Yeah, it was Comedy on State. When Yoder booked it, I worked it a lot. Then they moved it over to the people that ran the place, and they were only booking young, edgy guys.
Oh, are those the people that own it now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay.
It's the guy. Oh, no, he still owns it. The Greek guy. I can't remember his name.
Victor?
Gus. The guy that owns it. The Greek guy.
So he must have bought it from the old other people.
Mm-hmm. And now his daughter books it, and she doesn't like us old guys.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm in my late 20s, Rob. I can't speak for you, but...
late 20s. Yeah.
Extremely late 20s.
You must have lived a hard 20.
I got around.
It must have been tough.
My guest is Rob Brackenridge, who is in studio here. Made the long drive up from the suburbs, what I like to call Appleton. You told me...
L.A., lower Appleton. Go ahead.
You said you had an issue with a certain small-town police department in your travels, yes. And I didn't even know if I should say the name of the city. I'm going to give you the option to do that.
Well, let's just say the place that they booked me into is the Chilton Hilton.
Ooh. Okay.
You don't want
to clink.
Yeah, you don't want to be...
You got arrested?
I did get arrested.
How did that happen?
Well, their cops are very bored here. Yeah. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, we don't have a lot of... That's what I miss most about L.A. is just driving around and... seeing a cop and going, there's a nice guy. You know, right. Now it's like I see one and I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose a whole bunch of money.
Right.
So anyway, I was camping in High Cliff. So I'm in there and I'm, you know, having my THC. And if you think the cops are bored here, it's the DNR agents are the worst. There was this guy named Seitz and he's from Shiocton.
Seitz?
Yeah, it's Seitz. And he goes through the campsites. So he was very...
And that's his real name?
Yeah.
Zachary
Seitz. Oh, that was his name. Or that still is his name. But he goes through campsites and makes people life hell because he's got all the cop equipment. He just can't use it. He had like the Napoleonic complex. It was like Barney Fife. He was actually very nervous the whole time. It was his first day on the job. He's like, well, that's illegal here in Wisconsin. We don't take kindly to people that do that. And I'm like, okay, well, write me a ticket. He's, nope, call the cops. And he called the Chilton police, and they sent the entire force, both cars. And my campsite was full of the Keystone Cops and Barney Fife, and they brought me into jail. And you've been arrested, right?
I have never been arrested, no.
No!
I've been given a warning.
And you call yourself a Wisconsiner?
Well, You know what? I'm a law-abiding citizen, Rob, and I take great pride in that.
All right.
I'm not judging you.
No,
outwardly, but
I'm sure you've got a few skeletons in the closet. We're going to find out.
I just never got caught. Yeah,
you never got caught. But so anyway, they took me in there, and they ask you all these questions: religious affiliation.
What?
Yeah, I'd never been arrested before either. And they ask your, you know, religious, you know, all these personal things. And then they go sexual preference. And I'm like, large breasts, you know, because that's what I like. And they're like, what? And I said, that's what I like. Why is that?
Men or women. It's just it's.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Then they said, sir, we're just trying to find out whether you like men or women. And I'm like, okay, men.
You know? This really happened to you? Is that what you're telling? Wow.
It really happened. And that's anyone that's been arrested knows that's what they do.
How long ago was this?
2 years. Well, the whole thing lasted 2 years. It cost me $10,000. I had to have, the judge is very prejudicial. He hates people that have THC. He hates anything. And he hates the name High Cliff. So anyone that gets busted there, you know, because he thinks they go there to do that. And so his name is Jeffrey Freight.
Let's just maybe avoid the name.
His last name is funny because it's German. It's a German word for happiness. The last part is correct. It's just, you're like, what?
So you had to go to court and everything?
Yes, I had to go to court. 6 court dates, and it was $10,000. And I shouldn't have had a lawyer, but I thought I needed one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'd never, and they sucked all the money, but then there were court costs and everything. And they found me guilty, and I had 100 hours of community service, 1 year probation, and 5 days in jail in the Chilton Hilton.
And for those of, like, I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to marijuana type stuff. THC is what you said it was?
Yeah, that's what CBD has no THC.
Has no THC, correct. Okay, I knew that.
Or a little, very little.
Right.
And the other ones, it's just a resin that grows over the bud of the plant that's protecting it. And
right.
It can only happen on the equator because that's the only place where the sun's rays are that high. And so now we recreate it by putting these lights on it. And so now people can grow it anywhere. But but we're the only place where you have to go to jail. You can buy it legally in Illinois and then step over this imaginary line and go to jail.
Yeah. All the way around us, it's legal. Minnesota.
We're the only pool.
Michigan, Illinois, yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And that's got to change.
Who are your influences when it comes to THC? No, I'm kidding. When it comes to comedy.
What is your influence?
Who do you take after?
Robert Klein, I really loved him, and I got to work with him at
the Ice
House in Pasadena. And
that's a great room.
I know.
I love that room.
And I'm here. Jan called me up, you know, the guy that books it.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, do you like Robert Klein? I go, yeah, that's my idol. He goes, well, if you're free tonight, you can open for him at this Ice House. So I was all excited, and I opened for him, and I killed, and Bud Friedman was in the audience. He'd never left the improv, you know?
Yeah.
But he loves Robert Klein.
Klein.
That was
right.
One of his first guys. So he came out to see us, and I killed. It was like Robert had a tough time following me, I hate to say.
No
way. Well, he was trying new stuff. He was trying new material.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, but he still did. I can't stop my leg. He has to do that by law.
Right.
So, yeah. And no, I forgot what I was saying.
That's because he's your influence. THC. One of your influences.
Yeah. And George Carlin, Robert Klein, Richard Pryor, those people.
You say most, I would say, I've only been doing this on this show for about 5 months. Richard Pryor and George Carlin are the two I hear the most.
Yeah.
And they're probably the most influential of the last 100 years. Well, I guess you could say Lenny Bruce, but I never grew up, I didn't grow up watching Lenny.
Because Lenny Bruce had the unfortunate timing of not being around when, TV was real popular.
Right.
It was still black and white back then. And when George and Richard came up, there was, color TV and there was, you know, all these comedy shows.
My guest is Rob Brackenridge. He is a Wisconsin comedian based here in Northeast Wisconsin, joining me in the studio tonight. So, I want to ask you this, Rob. For me personally, I do have some regrets when it comes to stand-up comedy. Like, I'm glad I'm where I am in life. I love doing this show. I love being back in Wisconsin. But I do regret stopped doing it when I started getting work as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could have still kept doing it. I got lazy.
Yeah.
That's my regret. Do you have any regrets when it comes to show business or more specifically doing stand-up?
You know, it's almost the opposite of what you just said. Because when I first moved to Los Angeles, I wanted to get a TV show. I'm not going to audition for commercials. That's, you know, I was
right.
a theater
oh, wow.
major and I wanted to be an actor in movies and stuff. And then I thought, well, that wasn't happening. So I wanted to write. I wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
And all my friends were making so much money, you know, writing and stuff.
Yeah.
And Drew Carey was in the apartment above me. So I wrote a Drew Carey script, you know, and
oh, wow.
thought maybe that would. But I never did. And I saw all the writers were working 15 hours a day. And I'm like, I can't work 15 hours a day. I can't
right.
do that. I know I can't do that. I mean, I work an hour a day.
And you're exhausted. Just,
I got to take a knee.
Those TV hours are long.
Yeah.
I think that's what I primarily did film. But and that's a regret I have, too, is I probably should have made more of a push to do TV. I did work on a couple shows, but that's where the really crazy money is when mm-hmm. you're executive producing a TV show or a weekly show,
yep.
I think.
Well, that's what K.P. Anderson ended up doing. That,
oh, yeah.
You know, and he was from Minneapolis, too. And I watched all these guys just, you know, making all this money, and I realized that I was having more fun than they were, and I stayed with stand-up, and I'm glad I did. But my one regret was I didn't make a lot of money, I guess.
Right, okay. That's fair.
And I didn't pay into Social Security. So anyone listening that's a comedian, pay into Social Security.
Right. Conrad, take a memo.
Yeah.
Conrad, I just want to keep you sharp.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great answer. Very honest answer. I appreciate that.
I'm extremely honest.
And what about clubs? What are your favorite clubs to work?
Ice House, of course, in Pasadena. The Skyline is awesome. Have you worked at the Skyline?
I back when there were previous owners. And when my buddy David Koechner was there a couple months ago, I tried to get him on the show, and they didn't call me back.
Hey, what?
Put the word in.
Can you imagine a club owner
not calling a comedian back? I will say there are people in the Midwest I've tried to get a hold of. I had an easier time getting a hold of studio executives in L.A. than some people here in Wisconsin.
Well,
I find that strange.
Yeah. Cliff was the old owner that you knew.
Yeah.
But now Adam Norwest is the owner, and he owns 7 clubs all across the country. So he doesn't have time to.
He doesn't need me.
He doesn't have time to talk.
Rob, this was fun. Thank you so much,
great, buddy.
We got to do it again.
Yes.
All right. I would love to. Tell people quickly where they can see you.
Well, I'm actually on the road for a while, but I'm going to be in Nakusa, Wisconsin. Have you heard of that?
I have not. Thank you so much, though. Look for us. This is Rob Brackenridge. He'll be back soon. This is Peach Wabba Nightlight. Brian Kelly coming up next to talk cocktails.
I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said,
Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to the John and Gordy Show, where John and Gordy were joined by an old friend, Chris Kammer, the rock and roll dentist, to discuss the Madison music scene and what's new in the world of dentistry.
State Street, where dreams come alive. Everybody's buzzing. Like bees round a hive. State Street, State Street.
Yeah.
I really want to go there. Lots of happy people.
Yeah. And a guy in underwear.
Guy in underwear.
Yeah.
State Street.
Why did that happen?
That great street. That.
That's where our radio station is, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I know. And is that guy in underwear out there?
There he is. There.
Matt Radio 92.7 WMDX, right on State Street. And we welcome into the studios the rock and roll dentist, Chris Kammer.
Woo woo.
Right.
Hey,
you finally made it in here.
Well, you didn't have a dentistry day, so I'm here on music day.
Okay.
I snuck in.
You've teamed up with Art Paul Schlosser.
Many years ago, right?
A street musician here in Madison.
Legendary. A legend on State Street.
Right.
Yeah.
How cool is Madison?
And now I ran into him a couple of weeks ago.
It's a Schlosser Kammer project.
Well, you remember the Alan Parsons project.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Very similar
to that, by the way.
The second
most popular project band.
Yeah.
There might be another one or two, is the Schlosser Kammer Project.
Exactly.
Okay. And we're on Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. It's been so much fun.
hanging out and playing with Art Paul, and he's this great guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're happy to have you here, and I'm glad you brought props, because
for
this
radio.
Is radio.
That's, that's why we have you on
this
camera.
This is the giant
here.
Toothbrush part of
your act.
I've been on American Idol. 22 million people have seen this toothbrush.
Yes.
Can we see that?
Yes.
There we go.
You were on American Idol?
I was on America, part of the Rock and Dennis legend. Okay. The story, lore, whatever. The Rock and Dennis now has sort of shifted. The whole nationwide rocking thing, you know, concert hall, you know, that didn't quite happen. So what I'm doing now is going to little schools and performing in front of children.
Okay.
And
this scaring the daylights
and to
out
do,
of
I have I sing my song, Get Out the Brush. That's what I did on American Idol.
Yeah.
And
you got what is this device?
Well, then I demonstrate the water pick.
Oh, okay.
Because kids, you know, I line them all up like teeth, and I stuff Kleenex in between them.
Wow.
And then I say now, and then I use the brush, and I get some of the Kleenex off with my giant toothbrush. Here it is on your live feed screen.
Okay.
Then I got a rope, and I floss them a little bit. But even with brushing and flossing, Gordy and John, you can't get all that debris.
No, you can't. What do you do?
So you need a water pick.
Okay.
This is the water pick. So this is a leaf blower.
A leaf
for
blower
all you watching on
turned
TV.
Into a water pick.
And you, and then when
turn
I,
it on.
And when the kids are all lined up with Kleenex in between them, and I hit them with this.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
That's great. That is great. They must love that.
All the Kleenex goes flying out. And so I never only person in the world demonstrating the power of the water pick to school children.
Thank you for doing that.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Now, you have a song that we're going to perform. Are we going to do this now? Sam, are we prepared to do this?
Sam, how do you want to do this?
You got the background music recorded already here, right?
You can put it on any time, because we can talk over it a little bit.
Then when I do this,
I'll sing, and then there'll be an instrumental break. We can talk.
Right. You got it all planned out. Well, hit the music. What's the name of this song?
Well,
you remember the
very, very famous song by B.B. King.
Oh, sure.
You can probably even recognize it almost already.
That's right.
I know what it is.
The thrill is gone.
The thrill is gone, right? Yeah, but when something as amazing as a dentist who is out there who is fixing cavities, healing teeth, with no drill, you got to take this song and turn it into From the Thrill Is Gone to The Drill Is Gone.
No kidding.
And that's what I'm doing, people.
All right, well, here we go. Here's Chris Kammer, Rock and Roll Dentist.
Gather the children.
The Drill Is Gone.
Here we go. Are you ready? All right. Hey, the drill is gone, yeah. The drill is gone away. That's right, you heard what I said. I said, hey, drill is gone, baby. Yeah. Come on, Gordy. Drill is gone away. Because, listen to this. I refuse to harm your precious teeth. There's a better way to treat tooth decay. Come on.
Okay.
Work with me.
This is better.
The drill is gone. You got it. And you know what the people said? The people said they're glad to see it go. Goodbye, drill.
Yeah.
I said
the drill is gone.
Drill is gone, baby.
Baby.
You know what I did with it? I'll tell you what I did with it.
Yeah.
I buried it out back 6 feet below.
What?
That's right. Yeah.
Really?
And you know what? Every dentist gonna get nervous. Oh, because it's all they got, you know. Because those damn things just got to go. They might ban me like Louie, because I just sang a bad word there. But I'm just saying, that's my... So, instrumental break, we can talk. But what do you think of that so far, John?
That was fantastic.
It's great.
You digging it?
Yeah, I'm digging it.
You think we got a hit on our hands?
In your dentistry world, are you you're not drilling anymore?
I've been practicing I'm in my fifth year of practicing shot-free, drill-free. No shots, no drills. When we can heal a bacterial disease of caries, tooth decay, with a medicine, why would you ever use a drill? Here we go. Bring it up.
Back to the song. Here we go.
The drill is gone.
The drill is gone. Now guess what?
What?
So is that nasty shot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
You know. Hey! Drill is gone, baby. And no more needles. Thanks a lot. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay.
That's the world you want to live in, baby. Now look at you. You're getting smart. Okay, big finish coming up. Are you ready, people?
Here we go.
Hey there, people. I got news for you. I've got the news you need to know. Oh, yeah. Come on, gathering.
What's the news?
I've got the news news for you. I'm building it up a little bit here.
News.
And pretty soon the world will know. Look out your window.
Big finish.
A brighter day will come tomorrow. When we demand, the drill must go. Bye-bye. So that's kind of it. Sounds a little something like that.
The drill is gone. That's great.
Get rid of that drill.
We are incredibly impressed.
People can't believe it that I'm doing dentistry for I'm in my fifth year.
Fifth year.
No drills, no shots. Like I said, tooth decay is a bacterial disease.
How is that
disease.
Even possible?
Well, Gordy, what if you had strep throat? What would your doctor do? Would you say, oh, you
strep
got a
throat?
You know,
remove your throat.
Which is a bacterial disease. They're not going to cut your throat out,
no,
right?
No, right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, but when a dentist says you've got a bacterial disease called a cavity, what do?
They drill
out. They pick up the they bring up the drill and cut it out.
Yeah.
So for over 100 years, dentistry has been amputating tooth structure to solve the disease problem of tooth decay. I use medicine, a topical medicine. Mm-hmm. It's approved by the FDA is safe, recommended by the World Health Organization as being an essential medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Also recommended by the American Pediatric Association, and the ADA recommends it be your first priority, meaning that that should be your first choice. The ADA also in their guidelines, look at me go. The ADA also in their guidelines says,
you need to come out of your shell
Get out of my shell a little bit. The ADA recommends to all dentists that patients be given an option. How many patients out there are getting the option of, well, we could heal your tooth decay or we could cut it out with this drill and I'll give you a little shot and I would. All right, so that's kind of my story.
Okay.
And so I'm so excited to do what I do.
We're only down to a minute here.
Oh, my gosh. I used all my time.
Actually, I know.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Yeah,
it's been
this is a lot of fun.
We're glad to have you here. Come back again, Chris Kammer.
You mean I get to come back?
Well, we'll have a little meeting. We'll find out.
We'll take it to the board.
I think we should hold you over and play a couple of the other songs.
I'm here.
Can you stick around another minute?
Yes,
all right, Chris Kammer coming up. A little bit more.
Zero to hero.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Don't you know I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. To learn more about the entire Civic Media programming lineup and the network as a whole, head over to the website civicmedia.us. We now head to the Earl Ingram Show, where Earl was joined by Mary Sanderson this week to discuss the Money for May Day rally happening in Chicago over the weekend. The two discuss monetary policy, social and economic justice, and the effects our banking system has had on us all.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm so excited to have on a wonderful, wonderful, and I would call you a friend, Miss Mary Sanderson. And I met her several years back, and probably as recent as last year. I think I was in Mazelmania last year. And, you know, doing the Grassroots Festival, a couple of live remotes and we got to meet. And so she is a part of what is really, I think, a really educational moment. It's called May Day for Money this coming Saturday. It's in Chicago, May 18th. Stand up for economic and monetary justice. And Mary, before we go back, I've got some more texts.
Yes, ma'am. Can I just say a little
absolutely.
Bit more about May Day?
Oh, come on. Absolutely. You're the star of the show.
I want to make sure everybody knows, because Milwaukee isn't that far from Chicago, and people in the Waukesha area might want to join us. It's not just the rally. This is a big educational weekend that we've been planning for months, and we're all excited about. On Friday evening, we're going to start with a film screening and discussion about a new film called Outgrow the System, which is the environmental focus on the money problem, or it's an environmental focus, but it does mention the money problem, which is always just mentioned as a sideline. But so that's going to be at the Climate Action Museum. However, it can also be accessed online. If you cannot go to Chicago, but this interests you and you don't have a big date on Friday night, you can go to the Alliance for Just Money website, Alliance for Just Money. It's called monetaryalliance.org online. And you can register, you can receive a permission to see the film at home at your convenience, and then you can be on a Zoom to be in the conversation afterwards. Then
So what is it called again?
Monetaryalliance.org.
Okay.
Monetaryalliance.org.
Okay.
Then on Saturday after the rally, we're going to have a play reading of a parable of the on monetary reform. And it's all volunteer amateurs who have had a lot of fun training with a professional director. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be at the High Chicago, which is the hostel downtown on East Ida B. Wells Drive. And then Sunday morning, we're going to have food and fellowship and some teach-ins at the hostel again. That's 24 East Ida B. So if you can go to Chicago, great. If not, I'm hoping a lot of people will like to see the film and register for the conversation on Friday night. And just check out our website.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that, you know, we can connect all those things on our website as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, no problem. So, Stephen, no, this is Tony again. The wealthy view bust as a great time to buy up cheap assets. I don't think they mind bust. Stephen, this private bank money system extracts wealth from the economy and society and funnels it to the bankers at the top.
Right.
Money is.
I'd like to comment.
Go ahead.
I'd like to comment on Tony comments about busts, that the wealthy don't mind busts, the ones who survive. But at those top levels of wealth and power, there is also brutal and ruthless competition. And they can fall too. You can be a billionaire today and a nothing tomorrow. So the instability does affect even the most powerful people if they can't stay on top of the pile. It's like that little kid's game. Oh, my God, my little brothers were always playing King on the Mountain.
Yes.
Come on. It's okay for seven-year-old boys, but we're trying to live on Earth here, and we'd like to have the grandchildren have something left. Sorry, go ahead with
the text. This is a fascinating discussion, and I am thrilled to have it with you on the Earl Ingram Show and on Civic Media. I will tell you, Stephen, money is power. The elite few who run the money system run everything else, including our government. When does the rally take place, and where should we find you? We'll make sure we get that up on our site, Calvin. Can we? Yeah, Calvin will take care of all of that. This is a truly enlightening conversation, badly needed. So let me ask you, Mary, when people who does Democrat or Republican matter in the whole scheme of things when we're talking about this? Because you hear people say, well, inflation is up and Joe Biden is the reason that inflation is up, and while the people are struggling and suffering, it's because of Democratic policies. You say what to that?
Inflation is up, and it's been going on since the system started. You know, when we were kids, we had dime stores.
Yes.
Now we got dollar stores.
Right.
Your 25-cent cup of coffee is $4 now. That has happened over the entire century under this system. I would say that Democrat and Republican doesn't matter as much to the inflation problem as the underlying banking system matters way more. Then as far as us trying to be a democracy and Democrat and Republican, sadly, at this stage, because the power has been very concentrated over this 100 years and the 300 years before that when Europe already had the system, the power is very concentrated and does control both parties. That's a sad thing. We do still have the vote. We do still have freedom of speech to talk. We can talk about, we can have this conversation on the radio without personal consequences, right?
Yes.
Nobody's going to come to my door with a bludgeon. Right. That counts. That totally counts. And it, as more people become engaged and excited and interested, we're going to have more fun.
So based on the premise of May Day for Money, in the 1980s, we had a, they were talking about an unbelievable $2 trillion deficit. In the 1980s, I remember it was, hey, the sky is falling. We've got a $2 trillion deficit. What are we going to do? It's over $30 trillion, $34 trillion and counting. So,
yep.
So that is what is at the root of all of these different things. Our nations are so indebted. And who are they indebted to, Mary? Who, I mean, that. I mean, at the root of it, who do we owe the money to?
Oh, boy, Earl, you hit on a great question. I mean, the really, not just for the radio show, that is a question we all need to go to bed sleeping about, thinking about. Who do we owe? Okay, we all owe. We're all feeling the burden of the debt. And can I make this payment? And what am I going to do? And where am I going to get? Who do we owe?
Right.
Who do we owe? Well, in the current system, the way things are set up right now with the law and whatnot, we owe the banking system. But the banking system, that's humans, investors, people who will feel like they're on top, whatever. But where does the, that's a question for discussion. You know, who do we owe and why do we have to owe? Why? That's my, really. Why do we have to always owe? If the earth is an abundant planet, and okay, here's one problem. This banking system forces us to compete with each other. Because there's so much debt, we can't even, sometimes people don't feel like they can even take care of their neighbor or do something kind and generous because they are afraid of scarcity. We have to compete and be stingy in this system. But we've learned, ancient people knew that life is about generosity and abundance. And if we can get out of this system, then we can listen to our better angels. We can just have more chance of a nice life on earth.
You know, if you're just joining us, May Day for Money, M-O-N-E-Y, is going to be taking place this Saturday in Chicago. We're clearly going to be able to have some information on how you can access it. As Mary said, you can do this at your own home. So we'll put those, Calvin, to make sure that stuff is up on our sites. It's a great conversation, Mary. Let's go back to the text lines. The investment bankers love the upside risk as much, and this is Mike, the upside risk as much as they manage destruction. Going up or down, they loathe static, slow growth. You know, Mary, there's this struggle right now. President Joe Biden is fighting feverishly with the banks to cap credit card late fees at $8. And who would be against that? I mean, Democrat or Republican, why should somebody be allowed to gouge you on your late fee? Excuse me. So Joe Biden wanted to put it at $8. But you know what happened on the way to the farm, on the way to Donnybrook Farm? The Federal Reserve judge in Fort Worth, Texas, blocked a new Biden administration rule that would prohibit credit card companies from charging customers late fees higher than $8. So why did they do that? Because they're charging on average $32 for a late fee, which is destroying Democrats and Republicans. And so the lobbyists, the banks sick their lobbyists on the elected officials. The people we elected to look out for us, the banks sick their lobbyists on them and force the elected officials to say no to President Biden as he was attempting to help the American people. This is what we're up against, Mary. It's why people need to be educated, because we blindly, we're sheep. And so we don't know. And so what you guys are doing this Saturday is a beginning. And I'm going to bring you on again and again and again, because we can't fix it in 1 hour. But there's so much to this.
You can't fix it in 1 hour,
Earl. In 10 lifetimes, we can't fix it unless we educate the people.
Right, in 10 lifetimes, or, and I personally kind of bank on this. I trust this system to keep bringing the crises. And first, let me say, I really appreciate that you bring up this effort Joe Biden is making to cap the credit card fees, extra fees. That is just shameful and horrible. And how, you're right, the people who foil him, it's because they're on the wrong side of things. But this system will keep bringing crises, and crises can generate real change. It's not like step by step, slowly, slowly, slowly. No, suddenly there's a big change. And if we can be ready to make it a good one,
all right, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You heard it from Mary Sanderson, 844-967-2789 on The Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We wrap up this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight with a segment from My Now and the Mayor, where Jim and John continue their conversation about bees swarming this time of year and what to do if you see them.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here, along with Big Wayne and Dave Elson, Talking Bees. Okay, you got something else you guys want? Well, here's another thing. I want to break this down to like what, you know, everyday people encounter. And I said at my house in Alloway one time, used to see those bees go up under the siding, and then all of a sudden you'd see them coming out of the light fixtures. How does that happen? Why does that happen? Dave?
So when there's a swarm, those bees go out and eventually have to find a home.
Okay.
And they look for whatever is going to be a good, suitable hive location, something that's protected. And a lot of times they'll find, go into your eaves troughs or into a garage, or in some cases right into the walls of your home.
Yep.
Those aren't swarms then. Those are called cutouts.
Okay.
And you can trap them as well. You can do a trap out. It's very time consuming. It costs quite a bit of money. There's very few people in our club that do it, because somebody has asked me to do it before, and I said, so you want me to take a Sawzall, cut a hole through your wall,
right,
and pull those bees out? And it's quite time-consuming, and I'm not bonded.
And expensive.
I'm not bonded, and I'm not a carpenter, so I don't do cutouts.
Who does that, then?
We do have one person.
We got one person in the area that does it, and it's usually...
Because it's a scary thing. Like, I told a story, my son, it was my son's bedroom. He was like 2 years old. And when the guy did that, he was placing windows and everything. And he said, holy crap, look at this. And it's that big thing of honey. And to think that my 2 year old was sleeping 4 feet away from hundreds of bees, it's like, ah.
And there's the thing called a trap out too, but it takes 4, 5, 6 trips to do it.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work.
Dave, tell us a little bit more about your current role. You're the member education chair. So people join your organization and seminars, or do you online, or how do you educate people on bees? This is interesting. I mean, we've had Wayne on, I don't know, this might be 8-10 times you've been on here, and people, I'll see them and they'll be like, that was really interesting, because everybody knows bees, but nobody knows bees like they should.
We have about 140 people now in our club,
In our hive.
In our hive, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
We should call
that.
That's
like cool. That.
Wayne the marketing guy.
Member of the hive.
But anyway.
Is Angel the queen bee?
No, he'd be the lead drone.
No, but is Angel the queen bee?
Yeah, she can be
oh,
a queen.
She is. Okay, okay. Yeah. I thought you right. said. Okay.
But what? It costs about $200 to buy bees, and it costs about $1,000 for equipment. And that's like going, and people that don't have education, it's just like throwing money away because your bees very seldom are going to make it. So we teach you how to be a successful beekeeper. We have an introduction class that is in the spring. And then in all of our meetings, we do education just to teach people what to do and when to do it. Because the intro class, you learn everything you're supposed to know for the full year, and people retain about 10%.
Oh, yeah.
Come to our meetings and we go, Tops. This is what's happening right now. This is what you should be doing. And then next month and next month. And
very, very hands-on. In fact, last night, Dave did a swarm prevention, swarm catching really? Class.
I think it's pretty amazing because 5 years ago, I didn't know there were any beekeepers in the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
And it's surprising. When you're on Facebook and these different sites, lots of people are doing this and interested in this.
I signed up for one of them, and I get these alerts and things about, it's Greek to me, but it's, like Johnny said, I think there's more information out there than people thought. So if your education classes, Dave, we just go to this browncountybeekeepers.com.
Dot com,
and we can find out.
And we have a lot of people in our club that don't have bees. They just really love
honeybees,
and they're interested.
Right.
It's $20 a year.
Plus what they produce. Beautiful, wonderful. I had some of your honey.
Yeah.
This is no lie. Me too. Okay. I didn't have anything to eat in my house. And I'm watching
a
big thing of Band of Brothers. I didn't want to go anyplace. So I had oatmeal and honey. Because I didn't have any butter or brown sugar. And your honey
that's good stuff.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
It really
that is good honey.
I had a guy, this is funny, young guy, about 28 years old. He was one of our delivery drivers for UPS, FedEx, or whatever. And finally on the weekend, he stopped by and I on my honey cart, and he was buying like all this honey. And I started talking to him. He goes, you saved me, Wayne. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I gave him a tour of my yard. He's like, I used to get high and just drink honey out of the bottle. And I asked him, like, why are you buying so much honey? And that's what he would do. So then he started growing tomatoes and doing all the gardening thing like me. And now he's in shape. He's got a kid that he takes care of. And it was just funny.
You feel like you're doing something good when you're eating natural honey.
Yeah.
You made.
Even when you're high, it's good.
Okay.
Don't know about that, but I will tell you that I have allergies like the worst. And I've had them since I was a little kid. And I've been taking your honey, and I still have them, but not nearly to the degree that I did. So it works.
Dave, talk to that.
Yeah. A lot of folks that have allergies, if you buy honey that's very local to you, so kind of in your neighborhood, the pollen in that honey, in many cases, helps you with allergies.
Right.
I've heard it can also help skin conditions. Is that true?
The honey itself, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Some people will put it on like sunburn.
Yeah.
It helps with that as well.
That works.
Yep.
But my daughter, oldest daughter, the one I ran with, has allergies, but she lives in Nashville. So she buys her stuff at the farmer's market in Nashville. I buy mine, obviously, through Wayne, but it's don't buy
it. You buy?
It, no.
You buy?
Yeah. I should have said that.
I slip it under the table.
Wayne's got to be thinking, really? Where's the cash?
I get my honey for Wayne. But I think that's kind of interesting, and that's kind of it's not a lot of drugs. It doesn't make you drowsy. I mean,
it makes you feel good.
And Mayor's, one thing now that we're doing as a club, and I'm the technology chair, is we get our honey tested now. So when you buy honey from me, you can know exactly all the pollen content in there. So if you're allergic to, say, ragweed or whatever, now you can come and buy my honey and say, oh, yeah, it's local honey. I'm allergic.
Where do they buy that honey from?
A-Frame Acres.
And we got a quick question here for Dave. How much is the cutout thing? I had some in my basement a couple of years ago. No pest control company would come and investigate it.
There's the guy in our
Jeff
club
Murray.
That does it, Jeff Merrill. Yeah, I think he charges between $100 and probably $300.
Okay. I mean, it's a big project.
You know what?
When you got your kids sleeping there.
Yeah, it's worth the money.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because some people just close it up, and then you've got honey, and you've got dead bees in your wall.
And then you're going to get more.
And you're going to eventually get more because they smell it, and they're going to find a way in.
Right. If somebody has quite, I know we've got a lot of people listening, and it's like, oh, I had that. Where can they come for a clearinghouse of information?
BrownCountyBeekeepers.com, and we have a great website. That's one thing that we really work on. We have a webmaster, so we have all that information. You can just click on the tabs, and it's always changing. We try to do scientific research when we post information.
BrownCountyBeekeepers.com.
Yep.
And you are triple acre. A-frame acre.
So you get, if you go on Facebook, you just Google, just go A-frame acres. And what I do is not only sell the honey, but I educate too. So I have short videos that I teach people to inspect the hives. But then you can also go to our Facebook page, Brown County Beekeepers, on Facebook as well.
Did you lose any bees from that big storm when all those trees were down?
Nope.
Wow, no, you got lucky.
Not a one.
Hey, nope. You still have space for my goat?
We'll make space.
Okay.
We'll make space.
All right.
Dave, thanks for coming in.
Dave, thanks very much. It's
Wayne,
great.
It's
thanks,
great guys. Always this having you here. Then this is interesting, and I think people, they got a resource now that they can go to.
Absolutely. I think this is great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. When we come back, Kim and Gail Noor will be talking about Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin. Back after this. Save tomorrow for tomorrow.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.